Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy in quarantine, which is just about over for us, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners.
Andy says it's almost over for us because we are fully vaxxed, okay? However, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think I'm just going to be running these streets, skipping along in the world.
Yes, but I guess what I'm saying is that, like, we took this so fucking seriously. We didn't go anywhere for 410 days or so. Mm-hmm. We didn't step foot in another person's house. We didn't have anyone over here. In fact, the first time the tub was clogged.
Our tub was clogged, you guys.
Just a couple days ago, and we had to have someone come in. I timed it, though, less than 15 minutes. We all wore masks. All the windows were open.
And I left the house entirely. I was like, oh, is he here? I'm going to go walk the dog.
You take this hit, Andy. But we took it so gosh darn seriously, Naomi.
Yeah, we will get to, like, relax.
That just, like, you know, we're going to go to Trader Joe's tomorrow. We're recording this, obviously, not the day this comes out. But we're going to go to Trader Joe's tomorrow for the first time in 410 days without fearing the Grim Reaper's bony touch.
Well, I will say this. It's not, you know, I think this go round, which I'm very excited for, we don't need to get two full carts worth of items.
Yeah, we don't have to shop for 2 months.
Yeah, we can literally just be like, let's just get a couple weeks worth of things, grab what we know will not spoil.
I can look at the ingredients in something if I want to. I don't feel like what it was like supermarket sweep. That's really how I felt like it was before.
Well,
right?
Honey, don't get too loose, honey. I don't want you perusing too long.
But it's seriously like we would like fly through the aisles.
We would fly through. It was very intense.
Like we would have like the list in our hands. I couldn't even fold the list up and put it in my pocket because I was scared that if I had touched, like, you know, a jar of jam, that somehow there would be COVID all over my hand now, and I would put it in my pocket if I put the list. So the list was constantly in my hand. I was just like flying through, seeing like what pita bread, grab that off the. I would barely even look at the expiration date.
I know. I'm excited to be able to look at dates. Also, you know, again, I'm not going to be touching stuff. I will be keeping my distance, but I'm excited to perhaps take a beat, leisurely look at an item, say, what's new snack does Trader Joe's have for me this month?
Yeah.
You know, I get to see a little bit more because it's true. We truly flew through. Remember that time? I mean, months ago, early in the pandemic, a couples therapy listener DM'd me and was like, I think I saw you and Andy at the Trader Joe's and y'all were on fire.
Yeah.
And I was like, accurate.
You looked like the Flash running through. Where's the Flash live? Star City?
Yeah, you know I love CW's The Flash. It's because an interracial love is at the center.
But you know what I'm actually going to really look forward to? Not giving people stink eye
that's
for standing
true.
There. because
you were very hateful, and I didn't like it. It was why I was happy when I was like, we need to do it separately because you are off the rails. Yeah.
Because like, if someone was not observing 6 feet of distance, if they were like getting too close to me, if they were standing there in the cheese aisle staring at a mound of Gouda, being like, should I buy this or not, for like more than 30 seconds.
Right.
I would just give them stink eye and be like, fucking keep it moving. Just keep going.
No, you wouldn't just do that. If I was next to you, you would say to me loudly, we should just put up signs of someone on a ventilator and say, do you want this?
Oh, yeah. Pictures of people on a ventilator.
Yep.
And be like, is this the experience you're looking for? Keep it moving.
And it was like, Andy. Don't embarrass me in TJ's. You know I'm a regular here. Oh, my God. But it'll be free. You guys, today's episode is so fun and so lovely and so special. You guys, we have the wonderful... You've already heard her dulcet tones.
You guys.
The most gorgeous, the most kind, the most smart, the most lovely, Sarah Silverman. Are you even able to handle it? Sarah is wonderful. You can listen to her podcast, the Sarah Silverman Podcast, which is... very, very good, and I enjoy it so much.
Yeah. I think what was so exciting about meeting Sarah out here in Los Angeles was, I mean, I was a fan of hers before. I loved her stand-up. Sarah Silverman program, though.
That like, was it for you.
That's one of my favorites. There was an episode where Steve Agee and Brian Posehn, who were a couple, adopt a robot baby. That's just an incredible half hour of TV, or an incredible... I guess 21 and a half minutes of TV.
Thank you for being specific.
If the Sarah Silverman program, I guess who owns that now? Paramount Plus? I hope that it's on there. But watch it. But like the thing that was exciting is that she's an incredibly kind person too.
So kind.
And I think that is to like someone
thoughtful.
Who's, yes, thoughtful.
Kind, thoughtful. She's thinking. And we love every second of it.
Yeah.
Now, before we get to Sarah, really quickly, you guys. Just to remind you, if you're listening to this the day it drops, tomorrow, Wednesday, April 28th, 6 p.m. PST, I will be working on new stand-up material at DynastyTypewriter.com with the lovely Joe Firestone and Aparna Nancherla. They will be helping me on the journey. They're not doing sets to open, but we're literally like working together to make dreams come true. So...
so you will do stand-up and they will comment on your stand-up.
Exactly. So tag, can, suggestions, follow-up questions.
As you get back into doing stand-up live, you need some help figuring
it out. I need
some
help, and I'm like, you know what? The big thing I'm going to do?
Uh-huh.
I want to stand up the entire time. That's a real big... I got to practice.
Have you stood up for an hour in the last year at all, period?
I don't
like just
so.
Physically stood up.
I don't think so. I don't even think all the time combined would be an hour. So that'll be great.
And anyone, it's online. So anyone can see it anywhere in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. And we might have it, if you buy a ticket, I'm going to maybe have it up for 72 hours after. I don't want to have it up too long, but you can watch it later. Also, just so you know, I am in an Audible original series. If you like hearing my voice in your ears, if you've become used to it after all this podcasting, you should listen to the Audible show Hit Job. It is about a office full of bounty hunters, and I play Susan in HR.
Didn't our friend Eric write it?
Eric Cunningham wrote it.
Oh, wow.
And Achilles Stamatolaki directed it.
Oh.
Those are names that mean something to us. So Hit Job is out there on Audible. And then also Mythic Quest Season 2 Ooh. Drops May 7th. Ooh. And I get to do some more stuff this season. It's going to be a little more Carol. It's funny. So the two things I'm doing, I am an HR woman. If that is how I'm typecast, I'll take it. I'll take it because HR is over it. And HR tells people about themselves. And that is my truth.
Can I pitch you a TV show?
Yeah.
It's called HR. It's about an HR, what do you call them, sections? HR department.
Department. An HR section.
It's an HR department in Nixon's White House run by H.R. Haldeman, who was something in Nixon's White House.
Isn't there someone called H.R. Puffin Stiff?
Yeah, okay. So it's all the HRs. H.R. Puffin Stiff and H.R. Haldeman. Uh-huh. Why was H.R. a popular first name, middle name, initialization in the 70s?
Because those
are both the 70s. Yeah.
But were they like born in the 40s?
Yeah, okay, so...
So it's more like... So I wonder if it's like Herbert was a big name, maybe?
Herbert Ruth?
That was the original Baby Ruth. Herbert Ruth. Okay, guys, we're going to stop what we're doing and get to Sarah, because it's too fun. Roll it!
Sundays, you know, it's like Sunday's usually the only day I can sleep, but It also is a 9 a.m. Silverman family Zoom. So I get up for 9, and then when that ends, I ended up falling back to sleep because I just really wanted to sleep more. And it was good. I loved it.
Yeah.
Now, I have a very active dream life, and I have to be there a lot.
Is your Silverman family Zoom, is that like a weekly thing? Did that start in Quar? What's the vibe?
Started in Quar.
Is it aggravating? We limit our Zoom. We love our families. Let me put that out there. Mm-hmm. We love our families.
Yes.
We do limit the amount of time we spend with them to avoid aggravation and to avoid it overtaking our therapy sessions with just talking about our parents. So
right.
But there are plenty of people we've talked to where on the show and in real life where they are like, what are you talking about? We're great. We could talk for hours, me and my family.
Yeah.
And it's very alien to us.
Yes.
My family is very involved, and I don't like getting up early on Sunday, but I never miss it because we're so spread out all over the place, and Zoom has been like a revelation of like all being together, you know, and catching up and, you know, and like from Israel to the East Coast to the West Coast. And Australia, though our Australia contingency has not been changed, it's just way too early for them. So I'm the earliest at 9 a.m. and then it's like 7 p.m. Israel and everything in between. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I like it. We kind of, you know, we like each other. We have Silverman family Zoom. We have Silverman's United WhatsApp. We have a Silverman. We have a Silverman United Marco Polo. You know Marco Polo?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Really?
Which is really fun. I mean, you know, but then of course there's all the like offshoots of like WhatsApps that include everyone but the person we're talking about.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So it's normal family, but you know. We're up each other's asses like crazy.
But like you have to really make sure you're typing in the right chat. You know what I'm saying? Like when you kind of roast in on multiple chats.
That's why I don't do it.
It's like hard.
I don't like the anxiety of I don't say negative things about people on text, really.
Oh, on text. I was like, what?
I'm too worried that I'm going to be in the wrong window. Naomi and I have never sexted before because I'm worried I'm going to be in the wrong window. Also, I don't want to.
I was going to say, I was like, also, because I have no interest.
Yes. We're not in. But also, I just don't want to be in the wrong chat. And
Yeah.
Be like, your butt looks cool.
Is that how you sex? That's your sexting? I love that. Your butt looks cool.
Sorry, I meant text. Chaste text.
Aw.
Sarah, we have hard-hitting questions, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're not just going to talk about this. We have such as this. We read your Wikipedia article.
Well, first of all, I had no idea you grew up in New Hampshire.
I'm going for the hard-hitting questions. That's not the first of all.
Oh, that's my first of all.
Forbes Smiley. Now, you went to school. According to your Wikipedia article, you went to
Dairy
Field School with now you went years later, but Forbes Smiley, who is a convicted map thief,
apparently, is a notable alumni of your high school.
Of your notable alumni. Apparently, there's five notable alumni.
You're one of them, obviously.
You're one of them, obviously.
Right.
But the other one, we just started laughing so hard that it sounds like it's an SNL sketch. Forbes Smiley, convicted map thief. Like,
yeah,
that's so intriguing.
I know he forged maps worth $3 million and was sentenced to 42 months in prison. And it's also like Forbes Smiley the third. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's got a dynasty behind
Forbes.
Him.
Is he younger than me or older?
No,
older. Back when
map thieving was there was a similar Law and Order Criminal Intent with guest star Stephen Colbert.
Wow.
Similar storyline, yes.
I could see him as a map like cast as a map guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, like his Stranger with Candy character a little bit, like a bow tie,
little bow tie action,
bow tie, little Tucker Carlson bow tie on.
But New Hampshire, Sarah.
Hiya, New Hampshire.
Sarah, for real?
Wait, are there a lot? How many Jews are there?
Naomi, exactly, how many Jews?
A very few amount of Jews. I really didn't know Jews. I never went to. You guys may have experienced around the age of 13 going to bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs. Never went to one. And we didn't have any. Mm-hmm. We were raised godless. There was one year where one of my parents decided that I should go to Hebrew school. My sister Jodine and I are, she's a stepsister, so we're 3 months apart. We were sent in third grade to Hebrew school. We did not like the experience at all, but it was in the big city, Manchester.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And afterwards, we were to walk to my dad's store and not eat to ruin our dinner to go home with dad. And one day, we pooled our money together and split a large McDonald's fries. We go to my dad's store and he looks at us. He smells us. He said, "You had McDonald's fries." We were like, "You're not going to believe how he knew." Probably partially from the smell.
Uh-huh.
Salt in our mustaches.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But that yeah, we didn't have, and then you hear about these extravagant bar mitzvahs and stuff. Even that, like when my oldest sister ended up becoming a rabbi, and she has five kids. And when her oldest son had a bar mitzvah, it was not what you hear about at all. Like you never hear about the regular ones. Like
right.
He did his bar mitzvah thing. Then we had like a room at a gym. Yeah, that was small, and every table had one large pizza, which was enough for everyone except for one person to have one slice.
Oh, no.
And then the drink was giant bottles of Fanta with plastic cups and no ice.
But we had
love and music.
You did.
And
love and music.
Look, there is not enough. We break along class lines, we being Jews. And there is not enough representation of middle class or working class Jews in meat. I had a very it was a nice bar mitzvah, but it was like at the JCC.
Yeah,
it was a dais. We had all the kids were at a dais. We had McNuggets. I think I requested or chicken planks. Something I remember that was our dinner. But it was
fun. You didn't have like LL Cool J performing or something.
Yes. This is how it breaks. This is how I figured out how it breaks.
I hate that this is how people think of Jews. Like,
well, I was one of them.
You, Naomi thought this. Naomi, because she grew up in New York, so she thought all Jews were wealthy. All Jews had themed bar mitzvahs. That's how it happens. If you have a theme bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, that's how you know you're in the upper echelon.
Long Island, you know, and L.A. Jews ruin it. And that's how, like, not to get deep, but anti-Semitism comes from Jews are rich, Jews are fine, Jews don't need allies, and Jews have no allies because of it. You ever see people come out for Jews when 12 people were shot, you know, murdered in a synagogue? I mean, actually, the Muslim community came out in a very beautiful way then, but I mean, you do not see any kind of outpouring like you see, you know, like, I mean, I'm not being competitive. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
Jews are rich score. Is how Nazi Germany got people on board.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
I mean, David Baddiel, who wrote Jews Don't Count, this book that I've been obsessed with that just came out, you know, he goes, racism doesn't care if you have money, besides the fact that Jews aren't rich. Like, they're not of marginalized or of minorities. They're not even close to the top of, you know. But you know, like 20% of Jews live at the poverty line. Like nobody, it's mm-hmm. never, it's never mirrored in art. It's never shown right. in art. It never.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary. And like what he says is like, he said, my grandparents or great grandparents, I don't know which it was, were rich in Germany. They owned a brick making company, and the Nazis, tore down the door of their big house and mm-hmm. murdered them all and pulled out their gold fillings. And, you know, because what that they found success was not earned. It was because they're Jews. Mm. You know, it's like, anyway, sorry, is that where this was
no,
going?
No, but I do like, here's the thing that I like. I love how we get somehow like the stereotype of us is like we're money grubbing. Yet they were like so into gold, they stole our gold teeth. They were so into, like, we're the ones who are just like, eh, they'll pick a nickel up off. I talked about this with, Elliot Glazer.
You get change thrown at your feet growing up. Yeah.
Yeah. Elliot Glazer and I were talking about this, how the fact that, like, we won't pick money up off the ground. I mean, look, I'll pick a dollar.
Won't.
But, like, yeah, but won't no pick way. Up, like, a nickel or something, because I don't want someone to see me and be like, oh, look at the Jew picking the quarter up off the ground. So I had this like very paranoid, and still to this day, I had this paranoid feel like I won't pick up money off the ground.
Well, that will just be, look at the Jew walking right by a quarter. Yeah. He doesn't even care. He's got lots of money. Yeah.
And the Nazis are going around so into gold that they're taking out teeth.
Yeah, it's gross.
Give me hey, this is my new segment on the show. Give me a break.
Give me a break. Well, I think it's obviously, like, I hear what you guys are saying, and certainly I grew up in, you know, I went to Dalton, Upper East Side, Manhattan, Sarah, like, I started in sixth grade, Dalton. So my second year was bar and bat mitzvahs, but I did not know, because here's the thing, I grew up in Harlem, my mom's family's from Detroit, my dad's family from Nigeria, I didn't know about, like, brands of white people, meaning I couldn't look at you and go, that person's Jewish. I didn't That's understand right. that it was, but like a different thing.
To you, Jews are white. To white people, Jews aren't white.
But I still like, but it's just, I remember talking to my therapist, who's a Jewish woman in New York, where I was like, how can someone really tell if someone is Jewish?
Well, that's why I wear a gold Star David.
Well, that's how it starts, right? Like, yes, it's very, it's helpful to people to know.
Yeah, you can put I on have the a patch.
But she did say to me, which I was like, duh, like when she told me, where she was like, when you're racist, you know. You know what I mean? She's like, they know how to know. And I was like,
that's the thing.
There you are. I got it.
Racism is defined by the racists.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, you don't get to say who's white and not white.
Right.
You know, there was a time where Italians were the ones, right. you know, were them, or Irish were them. You know, it's.
Right.
But Jews and black people are consistently them.
Right. And they used to be like down in the 60s. I feel like the 60s, 70s, like Jews and black people were vibing. They were on the same page, at least in New York, like the East Coast.
Right.
But then something happened. Then we broke away. We stopped being on the same page. We got to bring it back. That's what Andy and I are doing. We're bringing it back to the culture.
Yeah.
You don't think I'm going to do it, Sarah?
I do believe you're going to do it, because that's how it's done. Love, baby.
And armed insurrection.
That too.
Against armed the militias. Neoliberal capitalist elites. And yes, folks, we are selling guns for couples therapy. Couples therapy brand guns.
His and hers guns.
Oh God.
Only for heterosexuals. God,
that's how you know that we've truly, truly been devoured by this town, is that we just don't care anymore what our name is on.
Right. You just put your name on anything and you're like, that's
AR Sweet 16.
Oh my God, I'm surprised that has not been done. It will be soon. It will be soon.
Wait, Sarah, I had another question. We ask this sometimes of our guests who are pretty well known, because it's baffling to me. Like, I can Google your relationship history.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, is that something you had to get used to? There are some people who like are like, well, no, I was kind of like, I'm an open person, so it didn't really matter to me. But like, it's baffling to me. And I'm curious if it's something that is that bothered you or has bothered you or still bothers you. That like I can just like look
up. Yeah, your information's out there. I can just who look your up lover who, is
like at any time or at any point in the last like 20 years, maybe, who you were dating?
Yeah, like most of my dating life, pretty much. Yeah. that's very low on my list of gripes. Very, very low.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's interesting, though, because, like, even, well, it's like, I talk a lot about you in stand-up, and I always did. So it's kind of like you were a character as well as a person, right? Like, right. Two different things.
And you have to be able to.
Right. Right. But it's, like, necessarily, like, some... But then at the same time, then people I notice will sometimes, like, for instance, you know it's not going to be a good party if we go in there and someone looks at Andy and goes, Jubu! Like, that's not going to work. Because it's like, okay, his name is Andrew.
I will take that over just ignoring me. I will take Jubu over, like, a manager or an executive who just, like, looks at me like I'm a piece of shit on your shoe. So go ahead. Look, if Jubu is the thing you want to call, I am a full human being otherwise.
But. I mean, the only thing that makes it okay is that it means that they're a fan of yours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At the very least, you know?
I know.
But it's still a little bit like, I can say that, but you can't say that. You know, like.
I know. But like, I mean... Because obviously you're right. Like, I can see that being low on the list of gripes. It's like, whatever. People are always going to find something to talk about. But did you ever feel like you were like, my relationship must be secret and protected because it is special and the industry will, or like the gossip rags will ruin it.
The gossip rags.
I'm not, I can't even think of an example. Jessica Simpson. I'm like stuck in a moment. Sorry. Like, you know, whatever is the, I'm peripheral.
I'm not Mae West.
You know, I'm a comedian. Like if I get paparazzi'd, it's because someone famous was in the area and I walked through it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what Margaret Cho said too. And to me, it's like, no, they're taking pictures of y'all, but it's just so funny how it's like, If you're not a sociopath, you never feel like you're the person.
You can decide, right. You can decide that, oh, God, don't take a picture of me. It's violating, because it can really feel that way. Especially, like, I've been, like, sobbing at airports and people taking pictures. You know, like, of saying, like, do you want a tissue, sweetie? Or
right.
It's like, hey, take a picture. And I'm just like, you know, like... Airports are the worst because there's no place you can go. You're sitting at like a Southwest gate alone going to whatever the next gig, and whatever's going on in your life doesn't matter. Like, I get having to be in a good mood at certain times, but it's like that can be the worst. But in terms of like, I have a friend who's like famous, famous. Yeah, yeah. And I go, oh, let's meet for... Meet at, you know, blah, blah, blah in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go to whatever restaurant. What are they going to be, paparazzi? There I go. What do you give a shit? Do you read Us Weekly? Like, I don't have a Google alert on my name. Right. You know, like, it's incredibly freeing. Like, I friends that something comes out about them on the internet and they just assume you've read it and know about it. And I just have to go, I'm going to give you the best news ever.
Right.
No one's Googling you. And for sure, no one's sorting it by date. But maybe it's just because I'm peripheral. Like, comics, really, it's not like, you know, I'm not a big price for pictures, I don't think. Like, I don't think I...
But it's crazy you say that. Not like you're crazy. Like, I get what you mean, but it's like, it's so interesting because I feel like on one hand, yes, right? Comics, there's a little periphery to it. But at the same time, the moment you say something people don't like, you the fucking president of the United States. And how dare you put this out there? And it's like, okay, well, which one is it? Okay, am I this big famous person who can control the world? Or am I just a jokester trying to make ends meet?
Am I Loki?
A trickster god? Do you know what I mean? It's like they kind of want both.
I mean, to me, like, it's a very heightened time and I've become real aware, and I'm not angry at this new awareness I have to have. I'm kind of like into it. And so like if shit goes down or I find out I hurt someone feels or whatever, I'll definitely think about it. And if I'm sorry, I say sorry. It feels good. I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. And if I'm not sorry, I don't. I'm not worried about It's not because, like when I apologize because for hurting, like, Paris Hilton's feelings. Because I was sorry, but, like, I wasn't scared. I didn't do it because I was scared I was going to be canceled or something, you know? Right. And then, like, but if it's something where it's, like, I probably shouldn't have tweeted that or something like that, I always just say, and I tell people this, I go, tweet a bunch of, unlikely animal friendships and just cleanse your feed. Don't worry about it. You know, I don't know.
Can you chart or have you thought about, was there a dividing line in your relationship history between where it was like, this is not like people in public don't have any idea about this relationship that over that line? Does that make any sense? Like at what age?
Jimmy. When I started dating Jimmy Kimmel was the most famous I had been, and then he got his talk show, we were together, and I think that was intriguing to people. That was the first time I remember anyone giving a shit about, like, who I'm dating, you know.
I have a question about you as, like, in relationships, because I think of you as, you're a very warm person. You are really, like, direct, and you just seem like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get the sense that you are performing a niceness. So when you are in relationships, are you somebody who, you know, you kind of know right away when you like somebody and you're like, yes, you can hang, or, you know what I mean? Or are you like, slow burn, I'm kind of trying to figure you out because you are a white man and I have to see what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, what's your mind?
Oftentimes it's like a chemical immediate thing. With Rory, my boyfriend now, it was more of a slow burn of like, I don't know. You know, and which was kind of nice in a way, but yeah.
Okay.
I always want to be the best girlfriend my boyfriend's ever had.
Really?
I don't know if it's a competitive thing or, but I really want to be a great girlfriend. You know, I try to be aware of, like, you know, just aware and like appreciate things and, you know, not let things get tired.
Like in a competitive way or just a, like, I want to be this person's best? Because I think those two things kind of like mix in me, because partly it's competitive and partly there is a like, no, I want this person to have a great experience.
But the question is, how do we define best girlfriend? You know what I mean? That's the thing, because that'll determine whether it's competitive or not.
Right. I want him to feel loved and appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, the trick is, can I get reciprocity without begging for it, you know? And of course, begging for it doesn't get that because it becomes a whole other thing. But so that, you know, it's been a real learning. I've learned so much in each relationship that I feel like each time has brought me to this latest one where it's, you know,
right?
Like this is the most communicative, like no weird, passive aggressive stuff without going, hold on, stop. Let's talk about, because I felt like a pang when you said, you know, whatever. And I'll do it or he'll do it. And I'll be like, I don't want to. But by the end, we're both like, we always force it through until we're both like laughing and hugging.
Yes.
And so far, it's been really good. Listen, we're not even a year in. So I, you know, it's usually a year and a half in when I feel like they go, and I'm your dad, you know.
Is this just something you've learned from like each previous relationship and you've just like, okay, I've learned this from this one now, and now I perfected it in this one? Is it therapy? Is it some combination? Because
it's a combination of talk therapy, a small prescription of Zoloft, and experience, and deciding that I want to learn shit from experience.
Yeah. I mean, you also seem though, like, I remember one time I did one of your shows, of course, in the before times at Largo. This would have been a while ago.
Pre-Pan.
Exactly. And it was like, I don't remember, but all I remember, you were like, my ex-boyfriend is here. He's backstage. We're friends, though. And like, you were just kind of like talking about it, but like, you guys weren't together, but y'all were just like hanging out. And I was like, that's exactly what I would expect. Sarah would be cool. She would be like, ex-boyfriend, you can come to my show. You can sit in the back, but this is my show. And I was like very into that vibe. And I was like, are you friends with all your exes? Like the long-term ones, of course.
All of them. They become like, it's so funny. I just talked about this on my podcast, but because someone called in and was so annoyed that I'm friendly with exes. And I mean, you know, there may be part of it that's ego or, you know, like wanting that, but it really isn't. It's like, I don't know. They're people I loved, and it's just, it doesn't change for me. It changes into a sibling vibe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I date really like, you know, not necessarily for me where I'm at now, but they're all men that I feel like I have good taste in men. Yeah. Like they're all funny. And a lot of them, maybe it didn't work out in a relationship, but I'm like, oh, this is what we're meant to be, pals, you know?
Yeah. That's so good. I don't know any of these hoes. Honey, anybody from the past, I'm like, are you alive? Do you have children? I don't know. You are unfollowed. You are unfriended. You are dead to me.
I mean, my last ex, I dated for 5 years, and he literally, like, within 6 months of us breaking up, he was with someone and then was pregnant, and they have and like, you know, if I was harboring something or I wished we were still together or anything like that, I suppose it would be hard, but like, I love it. He sends me pictures and like, you know, thinking of baby names and I don't know, but it sounds like I'm amazing, but I don't, maybe it's a detachment of some kind, you know, where I just like, I've experienced codependence to such an atrophied degree that I cling to being my own center and like being my, really, as corny as it sounds, my own best friend. It was work, but I am. I mean, even with Rory, who I love being with, I love my days off, you know, I love my I like to let it all hang out and like, you know, just hang out with this guy.
Yeah.
No, 100% get that. Yeah. Like this, look, up until about like December, I wouldn't say enjoying the pandemic, enjoying the quarantine. We've like really quarantined because Naomi has pretty bad asthma. So we don't go anywhere.
I do too.
We don't have anyone over to our place. So it's about December, my brain descended into this fog and it's been a struggle. It's just like been like my thoughts are like in one of the like horror film, like a bony hand breaking out of a grave. That's what thinking is like for me. But up until then, I was enjoying the, like, I don't have to go anywhere. I have nothing. I have responsibilities, but like they're all in this place and I can be on my own in the office writing and making myself laugh as much as I want.
Yes. So I think a lot of comedy are built. I think a lot of comedy people are built for quarantine.
Well, it's funny though, because I feel like you definitely were somebody, because that's your personality. You're always like pretty much like self-sufficient. And I think I was looking for like someone to love me and take care of me all the time.
But all the time?
All the time. And then what you...
Hold on. For the record, I love and take care of you.
Oh, no, you do.
A lot.
I mean, most of the time. Right. But I will say, like, just in the early days, right, before we lived together, like where I remember very distinctly having this moment where I was like, this is not a guy who is going to, like, take up all my time. Meaning I cannot get lost in him. I cannot use him for distraction the way I have used people in the past because he's doing his own shit. And so it was such a, like, flip in my head of, like, all right, girl, you better get some hobbies, get into this stand-up some more, do something, because you can't just run to his house. Because that's what I would do. I would use guys as my distraction because the things I wanted to do scared me so much.
Yes!
Yes, you did that. You went through it.
Absolutely, and I'm sure it's like common, but like to, you know, yeah, you gotta like be a whole person yourself.
Gross. Yeah, gross. But you're right. It's gross.
But wait.
It's so hard to me.
Wait, how did you achieve that? Is that just like, are we just, am I condensing, you know, like 20 years of therapy and like Al-Anon or whatever into like one question? Is that?
How long did it take? I guess you're wondering how long did it take for you?
It's a forever process. Like Rory went away for a week and we were talking on the phone. We're like, this is so good because we had spent a lot of time together and it's been a pandemic. And he got his first vaccine and 2 weeks after he was like, I want to see my family. I haven't seen them in a year. And it was just good to be apart and both have such a good time and know that we're not going like my other half, you know, like, I mean, for sure I get way more done when he's not around, but, and we need to learn to like be alone together if we're going to like be together and have working lives, you know, but it's so easy, like you said, to go, well, I could work on my act or I could work on this script or I could go see like watch a show and that's doing something, you know,
right.
Like that stuff needs to be a treat, just like weed or anything else, you know?
Right. It's so true. It's so true. I think we've gotten there, but I also, we've been together 11 damn years. I hope I would get there.
I mean, wow.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, that was like always my personality. And it's interesting because I'm dealing with it. And I realize that, you know, you were joking when you said, you know, dude will rip a mask off and be like, I'm your dad. But, you know, I think we are like, I realize because my parents, their love is a little conditional, would you say? Like, that's the right way to say it without really dragging her. But it's that, like, I realized that, like, anytime.
You mean her love to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
that, like,
wow.
Anytime you would pull, like, if I got the sense that you were pulling away or I got the sense, I would always say, remember, I always be like, are you mad at me or am I in trouble?
I remember, am I in trouble? That, I remember.
I'm a grown adult asking this man if I'm in trouble. Is this fifth grade?
That was
how I felt with relate. Like, I was like, I did something wrong and he's punishing me by like not being around or not calling me back or whatever it is.
God, I relate to that so much that feeling of like, I'm in trouble with a partner, with a boyfriend. I'm in trouble. What did I do? Not even knowing what you did, you know, it's so scary. Yeah. Because without just straight out, ugly, genuine, warts and all communication, it's like a guessing game. It's games.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's sexier. Like, I used to think that, like, heart-pounding feeling was love. And I'm starting to realize it was fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Anxiety. Like, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I don't like that feeling. And I, you know, now... What's the like worst that like can happen? I don't know. I forgot to do something with Mabel the other day and I felt really bad about it. And my brain's first instinct was try to figure out a way that it wasn't your fault. And you can blame Naomi. And my brain did that for about 10 minutes until the other part of my brain was just like, shut the fuck up. Just apologize. Literally just say sorry. Literally all you have to do is say sorry. I know you don't like this feeling that you are quote unquote in trouble. But like we're at this point in our relationship where I think like in trouble just means like I forgot to like give Mabel her food on time.
It was the walk. I was recording and she had to go to the bathroom and I was like, I'm recording so I can't do it. So I'm like, Andy, and you said you were like, yeah, give me 10 minutes. And then I recorded.
And then I got
like
lost in it. I was writing something. I got lost in it.
So then I'm like, did you? I was like, she has to pee, you know, whatever. And it's like, but I remember, so I was like, I wasn't mad at Andy. I was just more like worried for the dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can just get, you can like, I get like you get lost. It's like, but I just was like, oh my God, my daughter's been sitting there holding her urine. I'm a terrible mother.
Right. Like, but there is that feeling of fear of like, I did something wrong. There's something about like, and I wonder, Sarah, were you a good student when you were growing up?
I was.
Yes. I think there is something in, if you were a good student growing up, you are terrified of doing something wrong.
Well, I've never in my life not done my homework. Like, I've never, you know what I mean? But I think that, I don't think it comes from, like, an inherent intelligence. I think it comes from the fear, not wanting my teachers to not like me or be disappointed in me.
Exactly. Yeah. You need the gold star, and it's like, I did good. I mean, that was a big part. I remember just graduating college where I was like, fuck, I have no litmus test now for what success is. Because there was nothing that felt better than that fucking A on the paper. Do you know what I mean? And then once you're out of that, it's like, okay, well, now what is good? What will get me the pat on the head? And it's like, bosses don't care. Like, would you do your job, please? And then don't talk to me. Like, I didn't know how to do it for years.
Right.
It's right, where when you executive. Did your job, you didn't get, oh, my God, you did your job. And there are so many people who are like, I did my job. Like, yeah, it's literally your job.
Okay, I feel like we've gotten a lot here, Sarah. I feel like we unearthed a lot. You know, New Hampshire, you know, still boggles the mind.
New Hampshire.
we're going to take a quick break and we are going to answer relationship questions.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. We're back with Sarah Silverman, baby, here to handle your scandal.
Sarah, we get questions over Gmail. We get them DM to us. We get voicemails. This first however,
is
from Instagram.
Okay, I'm ready.
And sometimes I try to tailor questions to our guest if I know enough about them. So, anonymous from Instagram says, "Hi, I just left a voicemail, but I got nervous and I don't think it was very clear. I have been with my partner for almost 7 years, and I probably, if I have this down here, by the way, probably it may not have been clear, which is why I'm reading this. I have been with my partner for almost 7 years, and we have been living together for about 3 years. He doesn't like that I smoke weed, partly because he thinks it's bad for my health, and partly because he has substance abuse issues in his family. I really like to get stoned and clean our apartment, and I find that routine really relaxing. Before quarantine, I would do this when he wasn't home, which upset him when he found out because it was something I was hiding from him. So the tension was compounded by the element of secrecy. Now that we're home together all the time, I miss my relaxing routine, but don't want to upset him. Is there any way to compromise on this, or should I just respect his wishes and give weed up for good? Thank you both for any insight. So, Sarah, you like pot, correct?
Don't say that publicly. Yeah, I do.
Because I am scared. I'm scared of all drugs. I'm scared of anything more virulent than an Advil.
Virulent.
I think you should listen to that. I would never say but no, do drugs. Everyone's so different. And the funny thing is, I'm so open about loving weed, but I really am a two puffs before bed. I'm a teetotaler in terms and I don't drink, and only because it honestly tastes like poison to me. I've had a 5-year-old's palate my whole life.
Sarah, me too.
This is really good for Andy. Yes,
it is.
He does, because I would always say he had the palate of an 8-year-old.
Yeah, I like jelly beans.
Right.
Skittles. That's my jam.
But I'm more of a nerd's rope. Sure. But
okay,
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, to each their own. Right. If you like a nerd's rope, if you like Starburst.
Oh, it really is a burst of flavor. And honestly, when you eat it, when you have one, it makes you go that's really good advertising. It's an explosion of flavor.
The only thing I like are gummies. Anything gummy, but stuff like Starburst, I literally, you say the word Starburst and I feel a pain in my molar. I feel what it is to get those things stuck, like the taffies, the Starburst,
They're not taffies. Starburst can get, look, I gotta tell you.
Starburst is not like a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for validating that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing, I miss gummy Coke bottles. I've been a vegetarian for 15 years, and I miss gummy
the gelatin.
The only gelatin
I will have is NyQuil, because I don't like drinking it if I have a cold.
They put that in the pill. Okay.
Yeah, and there's gelatin in it.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I tried to find him vegan gummy Coke bottles, and I couldn't. I found vegan marshmallows.
You
can go to a Whole Foods or something for that.
Dandies.
Oh, that's the brand. That's what they're called. Yes,
they're
I found them once for that.
Sarah, Trader Joe's has their own vegan marshmallows.
They're totally vegan?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like putting them in the freezer.
Oh. What you're telling me.
Because you know why?
Why?
It gives you a slight challenge in the eating, and it makes you eat a little bit slower, and you enjoy it just as much. As a matter of fact, I even more like the texture.
My jaw, I'm not saying this, my jaw dropped because I never considered doing that. And it sounds just you saying it, I'm salivating.
An ice cold.
You're going to love it.
But what is, I'm trying to think, imagine what that texture is like. It doesn't melt as it reaches room temp.
No,
but
it must change
the vibe being frozen.
It still has a it's a little different, but it's just, you chew it slower. That's
we'll
all.
We'll try it, Indy. We'll try it. We're going to do this. We'll get the Trader Joe's marshmallows. We're going to try this, okay?
Sorry, not to wrench us back.
I think we answered that question.
Well, yeah, should they?
So Sarah, weed teetotaler, but would you ever, have you had partners before that had a problem with even the teetotaling?
Maybe a little bit, but what I feel. This guy is triggered by it because he has addiction in his family. Mm-hmm. And that's very real. And I get it. But what they need to have a little bit of a come to Jesus to say, to have a puff or two of pot is like to have a half a glass of wine. And maybe she gets high all day. And to me, that would be, honestly, that would be a bummer in a partner personally, because it's maybe he feels like she's not there, but more likely he's putting on her all his fears. Mm-hmm. And she can't, I don't know that she should change something that is a joy in her life, especially if it's a treat, because I think that's what it needs to be. It can't be just how you feel okay. You know what I mean? Right. But she should be able to have that, but they need to have an understanding, and his fears do need to be assuaged.
Assuaged.
But yeah, I think if she stops, that's going to lean towards, oh, I'm going to have a puff with my friend. Don't tell my, right. I just think whenever there's secrecy, it's a problem.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you have to be able to say like, hey, I'm going to smoke when I want to, especially if, again, they're saying like, I like to smoke a little weed, clean the house, and it makes me relaxed. I'm like, there are worse things you could be doing, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and so, right, as you said, this is because of his triggers around addiction, but it's like, you know, you have to separate me from, like, your family history. And yes. Kind of process some of that separately.
I don't know. Now, there is the chance that he is drawn to people with addiction, and this is a woman who has addiction. Huh. And the question's coming from her, and we don't know.
Right.
But if it's the way she, I don't know why I'm saying she's a she. I don't know. I think there was no gender.
I believe she is.
I never remember. So I just say they because I always get confused.
But, you know, assuming she's not, and it's just like she has a puff and likes to clean the apartment, like there's a pot that I love to work out. It's just like, it's the only time I'll have sativa, and it just makes me go like, I have the strength of 10 men. Like, I just feel really like I it really enhances a mind body connection situation for me. And it's a joy. So, I mean, I don't know, these things, you know, maybe they're not meant to be together, but hopefully they're just being honest and talking this out and making him feel not triggered by it, then.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm very much a teetotaler, period. And I remember when I was younger that I had friends who might smoke pot, or I had friends who drank, and it would make me feel left out. And instead of just I wasn't connected enough with my emotions to just say that to them or just deal with it. Right. Where like, it's like, that's my problem. Right. And so it would always make me like kind of standoffish and a little angry. And I wonder if maybe that's also where this guy is coming from. That
yeah.
like, this is something she is doing on her own, and he feels left out that he is not part of.
You're
this
in
thing.
A headspace without.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing where like I realize that like sometimes like at parties, even if I like did, people would always ask me like, why aren't you drinking? This is back in college.
Right.
And people would be like, hey, what, you want to drink? Go get some beer or something. I'm just like, and I would have to, at one point I just lied to someone at a party. And I'm just like, oh, I'm in recovery, because I just didn't want to keep answering that question. And I realized they were asking that because even though I wasn't doing anything or saying anything, or like, I wasn't like walking around smacking, smacking solo cups out of people's hands, that my existence, I was going to say sober. I'm not sober.
But
like my existence without any alcohol in my system was harshing their vibe in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they were just like, hey, get on the same page with us.
But also I feel like people who tend to, when people don't have a problem with substances, they don't care what other people are doing.
Right.
I noticed like the harder you, like the more you need it, the more you stressed out when other people don't have it.
Right. Well, I don't like being around drunk people. Like there may be a handful of people that are delights if they're tipsy, you know what I mean? But like the second there's that wave of drunk people, I'm out of there. I just can't be around it. But it is that kind of thing, especially like in comedy, when you see someone's talking to you and they're wasted. And if it's so scary, because you know if you look at them the wrong way at all, they put everything they're insecure about in their own lives onto you. What?
Yes.
Nothing.
Right.
It's so scary. I hate it.
Yeah, it is very stressful when you put it that way. Andy, do we have a voicemail or do we have...
We do have a voicemail.
Okay.
All right.
I love a VM.
Oh, boy. Okay, just got cut off from the last time, so I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm going to try to hit the main points. One, y'all are the best. Two, beginning of 2020, I started seeing someone. And when the pandemic hit, the relationship wasn't in the best of places. But nonetheless, we sort of trotted on finding the best in a bad situation. We're both in graduate school. I'm a little bit further ahead in a totally different kind of program. But over the summer, he was going through his qualifying exams, which, Andy, I know you know are the pits. And I totally made a ton of sacrifices, knowing exactly how hard it is to go through that, and really just wanted to help ease the burden of 2020 as much as I could. And so I can see now with retrospect that I wasn't in the best place in the relationship in terms of, you know, I wasn't getting what I needed. But it was 2020. I wasn't just trying to start dating someone new. There was still a lot of redeemable good things. So it started to get just sort of strange at the tail end of last year. And then on Christmas Eve, he ghosted me. We had plans to have dinner with my two friends who we've been seeing. They're our pod. And that morning he came over with presents for me to open later that night. He freaked out, and it really was more about a kind of like mental health crisis, which I totally, you know, took seriously. You know, I pulled up like therapist phone numbers, like wanting to make sure he got help. And I followed up with him, wanted to see how he was doing, because we left that conversation early on Christmas Eve. You know, he told me, okay, I'll see you later. I never heard from him again. So we dated for about a year, ghosted me on Christmas Eve. And now I see on Instagram that he is dating someone else. And I have not made any contact with him. I guess I was hoping he'd reach out to me when he was ready, because I recognized it, or I thought he was really going through something. But now he's dating someone else, and I just feel so gutted by it, and I don't know what went wrong, and I definitely don't think that an apology would help, because, you know, I don't think it's excusable to completely ghost someone with that level of relationship, but I don't know if I should reach out. I guess I'm just so frustrated that he doesn't seem to have any consequences for his terrible, cruel behavior.
So they got cut off there. This person left another one, but I felt that was the most succinct version
of the story.
So, okay, ghosted. Just to by the way, qualifying exams are the exams you take, or there's different versions. I had to write papers right before you your dissertation. They're basically like you write that, or you take the quizzes or tests, or you write the papers before you become ABD.
What's ABD?
All but dissertation. It's basically like your grad school is done, and all you have to do is write your dissertation. All you have to do is write. But okay, so he went through, this guy went
through. So basically grad school finals.
Right, and she was basically, I guess, sacrificing a lot during that time.
She did not specify, but yes.
To make it better for him. Then Christmas Eve, that day he has a mental health breakdown and then ghosts her and then is dating someone else. Okay. So I guess the question is, what should she do?
Should she reach out or not? What consequence?
Sarah's shaking her head with a furrowed brow.
This is a really hard one. I don't know, but I can't imagine reaching out is the thing. I think it's more about reconciling with herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think it's her. I think it's him, and wherever he goes, there he is, kind of thing. And maybe he's dating someone else, and now that it's new, he can be his best self, or there's, you know, whatever. But it's not like that's not going to happen again because somehow she was the reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't have a good answer. I need to think about that. What do you guys think?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think it's like this whole situation, the way it went down, it reminds me of how I was, you know, in my 20s, this feeling, because I feel like I was sort of socialized maybe to think it's like guys are delicate. You don't want to scare them. You don't want to come on strong. You don't want to meh, meh, meh. And so it seems like he's going through his exams and is stressed. 2020 broke all of us. And so by the end of the year, he was broke down. But you treated him with kid gloves and let him kind of like act any way he wanted to act. And to me, it's like, if you leave my house on Christmas Eve, oh, you're getting a call by New Year's Day. It's like, hi, what's going on? What are we doing?
Well, she did follow up with.
No, he was ghosting her. He was not.
But he never responded. But I'm saying like, okay, so now that you've done that, I'm like, that's it. Like, because there's nothing, when she says like, you know, it's not fair that he should, you know, he's not punished. He's never gonna punished. Be punished.
He has to live with himself.
Happen. Yeah, I was like, also like part of like being an asshole is that like you think what you do is fine. So there's no real way to kind of quote unquote get him. Because like he does not have a problem with what he did. He is living his life.
Him being punished in some way is not going to fix anything. Like the truth is he's fucked in his own way, but all she can control is her own behavior, and she should look at how that should change. Maybe don't sacrifice your happiness, your comfort, or speaking out because you're, you know, I don't want a partner that I have to tiptoe around anymore ever again for the rest of my life. I just don't. Mm-hmm. And it's like those are gifts of things to realize, not just to realize, but to kind of practice, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, easier said than done, always. But you know, the change has to come in with her. She didn't do anything wrong, but I'm just saying, like,
you gotta
protecting. She has to be. You are responsible for your own happiness. Period. So she's got to take responsibility from in here on out for her own happiness and protect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever date someone like that? Who was that? Who you were like sacrificing yourself
for? Eggshells. Yeah. Yes. Years of my life. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
How did you, I mean, how did you deal with it? Was it something you realized
just
in the moment?
Just a constant path of least resistance.
Okay.
No, I mean, I would have moments of realizing it, but because when you're in relationship or any kind of trauma is happening, there's no slow motion. There's no sound. There's no soundtrack telling you like this is going to be a pivotal moment in your life that you should learn from or remember. None of that. It's just like a moment and then you're surviving and the next one. Oh yeah, no, it's over and now it will never happen again. But of course it will.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I mean, of course, then you look back and you go, I should have left then. Mm-hmm. But you left when you left and that's that, you know?
Right. It's all hindsight.
Or you stay until he leaves because you're so pathetic.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah. I don't appreciate that pointed response.
I talk about myself. It's like, you've contorted yourself into such a pathetic shape. He's no longer drawn to you. I mean, that's the like ultimate irony of it.
Well, also, you know what she said early on, right? She said two things I kind of caught, which was like, it wasn't great, but there were some good things. And she also said, you know, I didn't want to start dating again in 2020. Meaning like she stayed in it because it was like, well, who else I'm going to find?
Convenience.
Well, the way you're making it sound, honey, this was for the best.
Right. But like, she wants promising young women. She wants there to be consequences.
Of course.
I don't mean that she's going to go in.
I know.
You know.
But yeah.
But like, but I'm saying that like it's the injustice. But
I know.
Consequence. I mean, that movie was fun. I would say it's the most fun romp about rape ever made. But like, those men still would not learn a lesson. They'd say, this crazy bitch did this to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're gonna suddenly be contemplative and live in an examined life? No way.
There is that fantasy, right? Yes. There's that fantasy that you are going to say something to this person that will unlock the key to their introspection. And they will then thank you later on. And I've had that fantasy. I'm sure I'm sure all of us have had that fantasy that we're going to somehow change this person.
Honey, anytime like stand up of mine, like the few times I've done stand up on television, I said, ooh, I hope so-and-so see this. And they use this as a moment to go, you know what? That's the one that got away. And I should have really changed my life. Like I'm convinced they see me like on Seth Meyers and are like, oh, wow, I did know her and I really ruined it. You know, and then, like I want like an email that's like, hey, I saw you and I'm just so sorry.
At best, it's like, hey, I fucked her.
Hey, the chick that's on with Justin Theroux, I touched her butt.
Her cool butt.
Her cool butt. Yeah, she got a cool butt.
You got a cool butt. That's like the most romantic, sweetest thing. I mean.
Can we do one more? This is very quick.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Hello, Andy, Naomi, guests. My name is Michelle. I live in New York City. Hope you're having a nice pandemic today in the beginning of December. Anyway, I'm trying to date here in New York. Just trying to find my own jubu. That's all I want. It's a nice jubu. And you would think on the Upper West Side of New York City, I wouldn't have a hard time finding one of those. However, number one, I'm a little wary about dating during a pandemic. And number two, even on the app, all these motherfuckers voted for Trump. How am I to find
voted for
a
Trump.
Nice liberal jubu? Thank you for your help. Love you both.
Oh my God. Okay. That's so funny. She said all these motherfuckers voted for Trump on the Upper West Side.
Yes.
Not surprising, honestly.
So she wants a liberal jubu. I thought this might be a good question. Sarah, you both lived in New York and also are Jewish. So
true.
And are liberal. So thoughts on.
Well, I've never searched for a man. And you know what I mean? And I wouldn't look on the Upper West Side because that's not my thing. I'm a Lower East Side kind of gal. And you don't really find a lot of, I don't know. You know, I mean, it sounds, look at the Upper West Side. Looks like she's looking for a little scratch, you know? And that's just never, personally just don't think that's ever like make your own money and then find real love.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a talk at 92Y?
I have.
Yes. All right. So wait for Sarah to do another talk at 92Y.
That's smart.
Go there.
Yes.
And then look, you know, take pictures, do surveillance, take pictures of people in the audience and then do the reverse image search online and try to find who they are and then try to date them.
Okay, that's a lot more work, Andy. It takes a lot of
or
waiting.
Meet
have
them
you ever
in person
walked into
there?
The, you know, the 92nd Street Y? I love this. It smells like a million nanas in there. Like, I love it.
But that's the thing. Find, like, things where you would meet. Like, I don't know where you meet. Like, I don't
like,
meet
Like,
meet
a bench, not some cokehead who works in finance.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's like, gross. Right. But it's also like, do the shit you like to do.
Right.
That's what you're saying. It's like, go to stuff you would
I'm
normally
saying go to.
Go to
things where you would find liberal Jews.
Right.
Right? Don't go, like, I don't even know, I don't know another, a parent's friend of ours, one of my parents' friends, a family friend voted for Trump.
Yeah, because there's that group of Jews that all they care about is pro-Israel.
Right.
What, you know, whatever that means, and they will sacrifice everyone else's, you know, they're so riddled in fear, which is how Trump gets votes.
Right.
Yeah.
That they'll sacrifice everyone else's, you know, safety, comfort, well-being.
Right.
I mean, and that's, I think of a very small, I think of Jews, I like to think of the diaspora as our type, you know, the slappy East Coast pen in our shirt pocket stands on our shirts. Who cares?
First,
a bagel in the back pocket.
In your back pocket. But I would say, like, also, first of all, don't date in the pandemic. Too much work. It's like, you know, until you get your shots, honey. It's like, don't even think about it. But then also, you know, you talk about the Upper West. This is the thing. I lived in Harlem, honey. Andy lived in Greenpoint. You gonna have to go to Brooklyn if you want to find like an interesting boy. who maybe isn't a cokehead, you want to go to Brooklyn, not Williamsburg. But you want to get down there. And I know that's a schlep. I know it's like a lot to go. But it's true, right? Like, I would always be like, because that's the thing. I was in Harlem, but all my friends were in Brooklyn. And it was like, how bad do I want to go to this party? How bad do I want to socialize?
Go to shows at the Bell House.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Bell House.
Union Hall, Bell House. Find those.
Union Hall, Bell House.
Yes.
What's the one in off of Fort Greene?
What's that one? What do you say?
The one,
the big one where they have like a magnetic field. Stephen Merritt's always doing something.
Oh my God, I love magnetic fields.
Yeah, what is it called?
69 big, love songs. Yeah,
Brooklyn.
It's the big place where things where like theater
bam,
happens.
Bam,
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 God,
bam.
See, this is what quarantine.
Bam.
This is what quarantine has done to my brain. If UCB comes back, go.
No, sit. Don't go to you. You don't want to deal with them.
Go
hoes.
Sit under Gristini's.
Don't sit under the Gristini's. It's like too much. No. But
I'm
yes.
Just saying, but like,
yes.
Go to the places where you will find
people then, you like, period.
And like Sarah said, you want a mensch, not a Shonda.
That is yeah, like, make your own money. Come on.
Well, if she's on the Upper West, she must be making her own money. If she's living on the Upper West
unless
in 2020.
Just, unless she's just going there to stalk.
I get at a certain point you want a man that can support himself.
Yes.
But like, you know.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
sacrificing yeah. something if you're just looking for someone with shekels. You know?
It's true.
Sarah,
I think. But I am come, you know, my dad is so hates rich people. You know, so it's like I have that in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. I've been building a guillotine in my backyard.
I know. Business moving here has been hard. Like being in LA to me, like I'm having flashbacks of Dalton. Like it really kind of reaches me in the same way to be around like wealthy white kids.
Is Dalton like the Gossip Girl school?
Yep. One of them. Yep. I believe it was referenced in Gossip Girl. Also in Manhattan, where what's her name's character goes, the high school she goes to.
Mariel Hemingway.
Mariel Hemingway.
I just watched that whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Goof.
Goof.
You mean Manhattan
right.
or the Woody Allen documentary? Yeah. Yeah. They're both. I didn't realize. I saw Manhattan when I was younger and I was just like, okay. And then as an adult, I watched it. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was wild.
Is everyone watching the same movie as I am?
I only saw it with you.
We did a. I hope
was, I was like, what? I was like, what is it? What the fuck?
I hosted a midnight screening of it at the Landmark Sunshine.
And it was packed.
And so, it was packed. And I watched it. And so I rewatched it before that. And I was like, she's in high school. Are we all on the same page? Oh, we're not?
Yeah. No, we're not.
Oh.
Listen,
oh,
that was not judged back then. I mean, look at
it.
Like,
wasn't.
Look at it. I mean, we're going to litigate. I mean, this. That aside, I'm not talking about him.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, you know, in terms of like every rock star, every band, every
Jerry guy. Seinfeld was 39 dating a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And it
went
was like, with her through college.
Look.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one person, I remember Howard Stern was the only person who was
the one voice
on.
Who was like, what the fuck?
I remember because I was in high school then.
Well, exactly, me too.
I was listening to Howard Stern. I would get up in the morning, put Howard Stern on when I got ready. and I remember him making lots of jokes.
Well, she went to one of the New York private schools. And I remember people talking about her like they knew her, you know. And it was like, oh, my God, like she's like, and Jerry was at the dinner or like whatever. And I was like, and I thought it was so funny, the idea of Jerry Seinfeld like at Serendipity with like 12, 17-year-old girls or whatever, like the gathering was.
If it's frozen hot chocolate, it's not hot chocolate.
It's just
cold
like
cold chocolate.
It's just like a table of 17-year-olds, just like
like cool.
Yeah,
but
so
yeah,
it's like,
it was,
you know,
so
society's changing in a good ways, but
yes.
like,
yeah,
can't go in the past and be like, you should have known what I didn't realize back then.
right.
Sarah.
Yes,
can I say this has been healing?
This
has
been good.
This
has been rejuvenating.
Yes.
This has been centering.
It filled in something in my heart that was empty at the moment.
That's true.
It's so really fun hanging out with you.
You too. It's so good to see you.
You're
just
too.
A real light. You're a real bright light. So it's so. I'm just so grateful. I just love it. Your smile just really lights up my heart. Like, it touches my heart.
I try to make, I have a big smile, and I always go, well, if you're smiling, you're beautiful. You know? But I have a really gummy smile, and I try to, like,
Gummy. You're not gummy. You got good sized teeth. The ratio's right. But you don't smile like that.
Now you're giving us a crypt keeper. My sister calls them my pearly reds.
Oh my God. Okay, guys, we've got to let Sarah go. She has a life to live, okay? We'll see you next week.
I have to get back to sleep.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.